Broadcasting live from the ESPN 690 Anna Jarrett Levine Studios.
This is Action Sports Jax on ESPN 690 with Brent Martineau and Austin Lane.
Family feast is something we talk about in the running back room. You know, you might get your 3-yard gains, 4-yard gains, but eventually, you know, one's going to burst. So just taking those 3 yards, taking what they give you, and then, you know, making them pay when they misfit or something like that.
Casey was smiling at me. He's like, I don't think you're going to get this one either.
Oh, that'd be Khalil Herbert. Running back. Casey's fantasy team.
Okay.
Running back Casey's fantasy team.
Go ahead and put Vita Bay on next and see what he says about the run game for Chicago.
You know, I get a highlighted...
I eat that for breakfast,
I get a highlighted list of sound every day, like from around the NFL. Vita Bay is not on it. Khalil Herbert is.
Hey, don't worry. He's the one that's played to the talking. Don't worry about Vita Bay. You know who Vita Bay is, Brent?
I mean, man.
He's the future, right?
Yes.
Of a nose tackle? Okay.
Yes, well, if he's the future, then he can't be right now.
Oh, he's both.
That's not how that works.
I love Casey now. He's going to get the sound sheet.
Yeah.
Each day, like who's on the sound for, and it's only going to be people from his fantasy team. That's
it. Pretty much.
That's a pretty good flex, actually.
The fact that I have a guy by the name of Khalil Herbert now living rent free in my head a little bit, and I'm going to have to like watch Bears game now.
Brett, you missed it. When you were gone, right after you walked out after the last break, he said, "Hey, were you really picking up people on the waiver wire?"
That was told you in confidence, Casey.
It's out there.
That was told you in confidence.
It is now out there.
You know, it's amazing. You think you know somebody. I know.
Overall, would you say the Jags pretty healthy, or are they? You're looking around the league, and the league is banged up. But
yeah,
Jags did lose DJ Chark, big deal. Travis Etienne, big deal. They're on their third guard now. Mm-hmm. Miles Jack missed a game.
Brandon Linder
is out for a bit. Is that the NFL, or do you feel like the Jags are better off than other teams, or kind of just in the same boat?
Man, that's a great question.
To play a Zach Brown Band new song off his album.
Yeah.
Same boat, that would be.
How was it? Good? New album was good?
New album I like.
Okay, cool. I think in the grand scheme of things, Brent, you know, I think it's their status quo. It's run of the mill. Yeah. Now, losing a first-round pick, like, that's always the heartbreaker.
That's true. I don't know how many have done that.
Yeah.
Now, maybe a few games into the season, but not in camp. Yeah.
I think we had that with Dante Fowler as well.
They've had a couple times.
Yeah, the Jaguars did. So, I think overall, in terms of the number of injuries, it's status quo. Obviously, the high-profile ones is a little more rare, but just look around the league and see the injuries and every team's going through it. It's part of the game.
Yeah, I think I saw Peter King does a thing, I believe, like the all-pro injury list or something to that effect, mm-hmm. like each week. And if you look at the guys that are on that list, it's like, holy cow, you could seriously, make an all-pro team out of it. I mean, it's a really good list. And so guys get hurt. It's the nature of the business. Dr. Ross Osborne, he's in that business, Center for Health and Sports Medicine. He joins us here on Action Sports Chats on ESPN 690. Healing yourself. I hope you're feeling well and doing well. Doc, appreciate you joining us.
Hey, I am. Yeah, I'm off. Sort of off the DL, so yeah, I can kind of sympathize with what you guys are going through. But I got my own guys, obviously college and pro that I follow, and you're watching all the injuries rack up, and can kind of change the course of a team pretty quickly. So,
absolutely, Dr. Ross Osborne, Center for Health and Sports Medicine. Read all about the Center for Health and Sports Medicine at Jack's Family Sports. Med.com. We had a couple of significant looking injuries in the NFL over the weekend. Those scary kind of injuries, Doc, that you get, the stretcher comes out. Everybody's really like, oh my goodness, we know this can happen. We hate to see it. It happened on back-to-back days in the NFL in primetime games. The Seattle player might play this week. I don't know the latest on him now, but there was some talk earlier this week that he might play. How much now is that precautionary of just making, just double checking from neck injury standpoint to make sure everything is stable? And how much of in the game of football exactly might be stingers versus like a real significant injury?
Yeah, a lot of times you're making, decisions out there on the field, and you walk out on the field and you're looking at these guys and you're always going to err on the side of caution, but especially with certain injuries, especially when it comes to head and neck, because if you guess wrong on the wrong side of it, you can get them in trouble real quick. So we, you go out and I've probably seen 100 stingers in my life, but every time you go out, you are wondering, especially if the guy's not getting up, is this a neck thing? And if it is, you're going to err on the side of caution, put them on a backboard and put them on a stretcher. to keep him safe before you can get a real good thorough evaluation of it, and you're just not going to mess around with it, you know. So, I mean, every injury's kind of got its grade. You can ankle sprains are, you know, no doubt they can be bad and they can linger and they can cause problems, but usually on the back end of those, you can fix those and you'll get people back. But if you screw up a neck or a head injury, you may end somebody's career or worse. And so we're always a lot more cautious with those. And I think because of you know, what we've learned in the past and how we've both from a standpoint of, hey, we didn't recognize it and concussions are now a major issue. And then now knowing what we know, you're going to see a lot of people go much earlier than maybe what we used to boarding them and getting them on a stretcher and then wheeling them off the field. So not surprising, I don't think.
Doc, concussions obviously are still a big part of the game, as they probably always will be. We had a conversation about Daniel Jones earlier this week in terms of, yes, he passed the protocols with the third party and everything, but was it right for him to be out there? Because, well, he didn't look like himself, and especially as the game went on, like, he just, you know, he didn't look like the Daniel Jones that we're accustomed to seeing. In terms of, you know, passing the concussion test, and I had to do that myself and everything, I mean, just how much are you still at risk once you pass the protocol of having after effects and maybe for a head coach to go, hey, this guy still isn't ready to play?
Yeah, you know, it's tough. So we've got studies out there, for instance, that show that people that have a concussion have a much higher rate of a major musculoskeletal injury. So take an ACL, for instance. If you had a concussion week one, for the rest of the season, you have a much higher chance of having an ACL injury throughout the course of the year versus somebody who did not have a concussion. So it extends even beyond the concussion part
really?
Of it.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, you know, and now that we're learning more about concussions, I mean, you lose some of your neural control mechanisms. And, of course, especially in the NFL, where your margin of error is super, super small. And you're talking about these guys can turn and cut on a dime and then just turn it upfield. It doesn't take much to where that knee has to, you know, take a little extra pressure. And if your brain's not working right to control those kind of finely tuned mechanisms, it's not surprising that now we're learning it may have a higher rate of injury. And then with the concussions themselves, it is a little bit surprising. I mean, just kind of knowing what I know, and I don't deal with NFL players from a standpoint of concussion, but certainly within our medical groups, you know, when we meet at annual meetings, we get to dialogue with the people who do, and specifically in our group, there's three or four people that sit on the NFL concussion committee, and so you talk to them, and then you see somebody return after 6 days, and you just kind of wonder, if they really had a concussion, then knowing what we know, they really probably shouldn't be out there 6 days later. Mm-hmm. But the NFL is a little different animal than college, and college is a little different animal than high school. So, you know, the concussions are somewhat the same, but as we get older, we recover a little bit faster. We probably, you know, have some adaptive mechanisms to not get hurt otherwise, et cetera. But, yeah, I always do kind of wonder a little bit when a guy has a concussion in the NFL on Sunday and he goes through a protocol and he's playing the next week. It makes you question a little bit.
Yeah, and that's what we talk about too, Doc. We say, from an optic standpoint, was that a good look? Like, even if this guy's off on a stretcher last Sunday night in prime time and everybody's praying for him and hoping everything works out, and now he's going to be ready to play on Sunday. I just think from an optics standpoint, I wonder, is that a good look for the NFL? Even if he is ready to play, maybe it might be better to hold him out from an optics standpoint, but you got to pass tests and all those things, and I guess if you pass, you're ready to go. They're not going to let a guy out there if he doesn't pass those tests, so I understand that part of it. Dr. Osborne with us from the Center for Health and Sports Medicine. I love how you give us educational stuff when we can learn. So we both looked at each other when you said that about concussions and ACLs, and they're like, whoa. I've done that before when I visited you at the Center for Health and Sports Medicine. I thought you had this fascinating statistic, or at least factoid, about like girls, like high school players. I think you related it to ACLs and hamstring injuries and how the numbers go up. I don't know if you remember that conversation, but just even from a boys and girls high school level, how important is the rest of the leg and the body, I guess, when it comes to ACLs? Because that's a common injury at any level nowadays.
It is, absolutely. Yeah, and you know, I get to connect you. Even here in Jacksonville, we've got one of the professors at UNF that, I mean, she's kind of dedicated to that field of study of ACL prevention and ACL injuries. And, you know, last, God, even since I graduated fellowship 15 years ago, we have learned so much in the ways that we can look at the way somebody walks, just even stands with the way their knee angles are, watch them jump and land and see what their knee does, and then have that as a high predictor for, hey, you're at a high risk to tear your ACL. And then on the flip side of that, of course, we can train them and greatly reduce that risk as well, knowing what to look for ahead of time. And there's a whole bunch of different risk factors, you know. So certainly girls in certain regards have a higher risk factor than boys do, especially for non-contact ACL. You know, if you're playing a contact sport, then obviously you've got a higher risk for contact ACL injuries. But yeah, you know, we see a female basketball player and we can watch the way she walks. And there's certain ones you just look at them ahead of time and you say, man, she needs an ACL prevention program, or she is going to, by the end she's done with her high school career, she's probably going to tear an ACL. And obviously, especially for a high school kid, that's a fairly traumatic thing. And especially if you have somebody that potentially may go play college, tear an ACL, it may hold them out of that. So, yeah, definitely, we definitely have learned a lot. Still, obviously, have a lot to go to learn more. But I think our knowledge base for that particular injury has gotten good enough that we can kind of recognize and pre-treat these people, both guys and girls, to keep them from injuring it with a, you know, pretty good degree.
Yeah, let's wrap up with this. Dr. Ross Osborne here at Action Sports Jackson, ESPN 690. And this feeds right into what you were just talking about. Center for Health and Sports Medicine isn't necessarily, hey, I got hurt, let's go rehab, although you have that. But a lot of injury prevention, knowledge, education, science behind it. Tell us a little bit more about what you guys do, because it's, again, it's not just, hey, get hurt, go see Dr. Osborne. You can do a lot of preventative things, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the probably the unique thing about our office is we do it from start to finish. So we have sports medicine docs that can diagnose you. We do in-house therapy so we can treat you. And then we have a facility right on site where we can train, and it's a collaborative effort between our trainers, our exercise physiologists, and our docs to work with our athletes through the full spectrum. So even if you're not hurt, we can work with you on, you know, skills and athletic development, strength and speed and all that other stuff. But through the course of working with you on that, if you get hurt, we can slide you right over, diagnose you, turn that over into rehab, and the whole time integrate that into the athletic programs we're doing so that, you know, we can keep people constantly focused on improvement. And so it's kind of fun. You know, we get the global kind of thing. We also talk to them about nutrition and, you know, hey, managing stress, using your head to get better when your legs can't do it yourself. And so it's kind of a fun, comprehensive way we approach it, where we really have kind of a full spectrum for athletes.
Yeah, 904-240-0442, or go visit jacksfamilysportsmed.com for the Center for Health and Sports Medicine, Dr. Osborne. I lied to you. I'm going to keep you for one more second. We got a comment on YouTube said, turf contributes to more injuries than natural grass. That's a question. I think this has been a question for a long time. What do you see? What does science tell you? What's the latest and greatest on turf versus grass? Because so many schools, even at the high school level, now go to the artificial turf because it's easier to maintain and over the long run, maybe even cheaper, even though there's a lot of initial cost to it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and the tradition in the past has been more, you know, the AstroTurf, and that without a doubt was provoked more injuries than running on natural grass.
Yeah, that was cement.
As the turfs have evolved where, you know, they really, sometimes you have a hard time telling if they're natural grass or not. We're seeing those types of rates come down, but I think they're probably still a little bit higher risk there for even the quote unquote, the fake turf that looks like grass.
Yeah. The Astrodome, remember that? That was like cement, I think.
Yeah. That's one of those that who the heck thought of that, and why was that ever a good idea?
Yeah. Now, as long as you can stand the pellets in your shoes, the artificial turf doesn't seem so bad. But
that's right.
Hey, Dr. Osborne, have a great weekend. We appreciate all the knowledge. Thanks for jumping in with us here on Action Sports Jacks on ESPN 690.
Hey, absolutely. You guys have a great weekend as well.
All right. That's Dr. Ross Osborne, Center for Health and Sports Medicine, 904-240-0442. They really have some cool programs. I've been over there, visited, really good stuff from A to Z. That fact, I've been covering concussions for a long time. I did not realize that.
I didn't know that either.
It's amazing just how the science is
makes
changing
sense
all the time. It does make sense. Mm-hmm. But both were like, did he just misspeak?
Yeah.
But no, he didn't. And what, if you missed it in the last few minutes, basically was saying how concussions can make you at a higher risk for injuries like an ACL.
Correct.
Which you never even really, we're just thinking about the brain, mm-hmm. which most important, of course. Mm-hmm. But pretty wild in that regard. So we're talking about the Jags coming out of it. Let's stay on injuries for a second. It looks like Miles Jack will be back soon. Should be back, could be back. Tyson Campbell should be back. The toe, it was a toe. I think it's still a toe. The toe can be a pain in the butt. It's such a weird thing, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes the weirdest of injuries in a violent sport shelf you for, it's got to be the most frustrating thing.
Absolutely.
Right? Those soft tissue issues for people that have like a calf strain. Mm-hmm. But maybe the biggest one is this turf toe that can keep people out for a long time. And Tyson Campbell, you don't want him back until he's healthy. I want to see him back because you know what? My eyes are willing to put up with some mistakes as long as I think there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
And that's what it's all about.
And I really want him and Cisco to kind of get in there and fine, make some mistakes. We'll reap the benefits of it maybe later this year or next year.
Yeah.
And so hopefully Campbell will be healthy coming out too.
You're absolutely right because, you know, when you draft a guy that high, and I'm talking about Cisco as well, but definitely Tyson Campbell, there's expectations to come in and have to play. You know what I mean? Simple as that. And when you trade away C.J. Henderson, well, then the writing's on the wall. You got to be the guy going forward. Now, injuries happen. You're going to have some setbacks and everything, but I agree with you. Once he comes back, you know, from that toe injury, I want to see if there's going to be improvement. You know, I want to see when we're sitting here 4 or 5 months from now, we're talking about, okay, do the Jaguars need to address the cornerback position, or are we good with Shaq Griffin and Tyson Campbell now and some depth as well?
While we're we got Marcel Robinson hanging around in here. Bring him in, baby. Bring him in on the mic because we've been waiting all week to get to this topic. Kyrie Irving. Will he play? Won't he play? Will he get traded? Won't he get traded? I mean, obviously, if you're not familiar with the story, he's unvaccinated, and it's a lot like the Washington State football coach story where that guy got fired because it was a state employee mandate to get vaccinated, and he basically stood on the principle of not getting vaccinated and lost millions of dollars by doing so, and I think he might even be suing now. Kyrie Irving, I think he's got plenty of millions of dollars, so money might not be as big of an issue for him.
Yeah.
but he obviously is. I'm a big believer in principle, but somewhere along the way, does principle get muddied with stubbornness or stupidity? You know, when you're talking about, there'd be a lot of things I would do to my body or anything else, by the way, for the kind of money that Kyrie Irving is making.
No, for sure. Well, and he's kind of taken the whole Cole Beasley approach where it's not about not getting vaccinated or not getting vaccinated. It's the choice to. It's having the freedom to. And that's where he disagrees, and that's why he's not going about it right now.
Man, Kyrie Irving is a different cat, man. I would say that he's probably one of the few players in the NBA where I think he, as far as standing your ground, I think he might ride this one out. And it's a tough situation because if you're the Nets, you're like, well, he's been part of our future plan. Like he needs to be here. So you can't really trade him, but you also can't let a guy sit on the bench that you're paying this amount of money for. So it's kind of a stalemate.
But Kyrie Irving is an interesting, you know, this deal in general. But his whole career has turned interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He went from this bona fide. I'm telling you, man, when he was playing with LeBron in Cleveland, I was like, that guy driving to the, again, casual NBA fan, that guy driving to the basket and finishing and what he was incredible. Like, this guy was a superstar, and he's getting paid like a superstar, but he really hasn't delivered as a superstar now in recent years. He thought he could do it himself. He really couldn't. He went to Boston and proved that he couldn't do it himself. Now the whole Nets thing and the Boston thing and from the Cleveland thing, and it's really turned into a bizarre legacy damaging few years, in my opinion, for Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, you know, he's always been kind of the outside-the-box thinker and more than an NBA player. And you know, let's be honest, we celebrate those types of guys because life is more than professional sports. So like, I respect Kyrie, even if I don't agree with some of his things, but whether it's flat earth, other things like that, but I respect the fact that he has
the sage.
Yeah, this is the sage. Well, the sage thing was great. I actually had some sage in here one time because there are evil spirits with Brent, and his fantasy football team was trash last year. So I actually did that myself.
Now it's my fantasy football team.
Well, I mean, last year it wasn't that good, was it?
No.
Okay. Well, then there you go. You're welcome. See, the sage helped. But I think with Kyrie here, you know, it comes down to, do you want to play basketball or not?
Yeah.
And you know, when we talk about your legacy and when we talk about, you know, are you going to be one of the greats? Like, I'll be honest, I think if we go back in time, I don't think MJ would have been doing this. I think MJ would have said, I have to get a shot to play basketball, then so be it. I think LeBron James, like, I have to get, you know, I mean, I think he got vaccinated, correct? Yeah, because I want to play basketball. Yeah. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Like, it's fine. If you have a differing view than everybody else and you want to stick by that, then so be it. But you have to remember, like, this is a legacy as well, and this is your teammates depending on you as well.
I think also one of the bigger things about this whole situation is that Kyrie's the kind of guy where, because of how everything happened with him and LeBron and Cleveland and everything, he's basically been attacked, you know, since that moment everywhere that he's been. Now, obviously, with Boston and even with some of the things going on with the Nets, and this is kind of another one of those situations where it seems like everyone's saying, hey, look, Kyrie, like, everybody's doing it, so you got to do it. Like, we've told him that if he doesn't get this, he can't play. And he says that he wants to play basketball. So if he wants to play basketball, he'll do it. And it's been kind of framed that way. So I think for a guy like him, which, again, you know, different way of thinking, you know, feeling that he's attacked in that way, I feel like that's one of the reasons why he'll stand his ground.
Yeah, and again, I mean, you can stand your ground when you made plenty of money.
True.
You know, you don't need it in the bank account. It's weird to say you don't need $30 million or whatever, but he really doesn't. Mm-hmm. He said this. He said, you really think I want to lose money? You think I really want to give up on my dream to go after a championship? Think I really just want to give up my job? Think I really just want to sit at home and not go after the things with my teammates that I've been able to grow with, to learn that takes sacrifices in this space? You think I want to give up my livelihood because of a mandate, because I don't have accommodations, because I'm vaccinated? Come on. So it shows that it's not that he has lost his passion to play, which some have questioned over the years, right? Whether he really wants to play or not. But this is more just on this principle. And like you said, I mean, I respect people for principle. Sometimes it feels like principle versus a battle you really can't win. Like, are you going to win this? You're really on, not an island, but you're really in.
He's on an island.
He's on the island in the NBA.
Yes. Yeah.
There might be more people that agree with him, but just won't follow his action, though, is my point.
Yeah, because they can't. I mean, it's one of the things, like, Kyrie's in a position to where he can take this stance. But what about these guys, you know, the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th guy on the bench? They don't have that, you know, luxury to be able to do that because they're basically playing for their livelihood.
Yeah.
I mean, Kyrie's lucky he's in a position where he can be Kyrie Irving versus the state of New York, but, you know, six man can't do that.
Yeah. By the way, it'll be part of the history books written on the pandemic. Some of these kind of stories. Washington State coach.
Yeah.
Right? This just the laws that went in place that created this kind of situation. Whether you agree or not, just part of the history books.
Yeah. I can't wait to see how it plays out. You're holding the whole city hostage. We'll see what happens with that, man.
Yeah, and the organization.
Yeah.
Right? An organization that brought everything in there to win.
Right.
And win big.
Win now.
That's a good point. It's Marcell Robinson, everybody. You know what I feel like? When Marcell Robinson talked a moment ago, I want you to go play Ahmad Rashad. He sounded like Ahmad Rashad's voice there.
Okay.
As he started the segment.
Can I get Ahmad Rashad's paycheck?
Yeah.
It's a compliment, dude.
He's probably playing golf with Michael Jordan.
Hey,
we'll be back. Action Sports Jax on ESPN 690.
I think it goes back to the coaches putting me in a position to have success throughout the week, or every single week, them challenging me mentally to be able to have all these different versions of routes and having an upper hand on at least making the defense have to think about that, right? Then it comes down to me actually executing and putting them in a reactionary position. But I think just over the course of my career, just getting confident, seeing certain types of defenses.
Who is that from Casey's fantasy team?
That would be the guy that practiced in full today, Travis Kelce.
Very good.
Yeah.
By the way, how's Kelce doing this year? What's his
goat?
Oh yeah.
Oh, is he
best tight end? Best tight end in the league.
Yeah. Okay,
no question.
Yeah.
Who's your tight end?
Because Kittle's nowhere to be found.
Do what now?
Who's your tight end? Yeah, Kittle's nowhere to be found. MIA.
I actually have him on the IR.
No, you don't. You sure as heck don't have him on the IR, because we don't have an IR spot.
Well, I mean, I have him on my bench. That's where my IR sits.
I have Darren Waller, by the way.
Oh, so
how's
like
he doing?
A distant second from Travis Kelce.
He was awesome the first couple of weeks, but Waller's been just okay lately, right?
I mean, coaches, you know, sending emails. He's going through a lot right now.
That's okay. A good point.
Yeah.
He's got a special teams coach picking his way.
Yeah. You got special teams coaches making the calls. Like, I'm not worried about Darren Waller.
I'm just wondering, like, Njoku's been good for Cleveland. Hooper, we talked about yesterday, is not.
Yeah.
Jonnu Smith's been okay. Hunter Henry's coming on strong.
Gronk's been hurt. Well, he was great.
He was great start. Mm-hmm. But So between injuries and, I mean, is this a down year overall for some of the top flight tight ends? Well, and again, some of that might be injury-based. Kittle's been out and Gronk's out now.
In daily fantasy, you don't have a ton of options to answer your question. There's like the same, Hockenson was good at the start.
He's been down a little bit.
Yeah, there's not a lot of options in the daily world if you don't want to pay for Waller or Kelsey.
Yeah, and like Noah Fant is just kind of okay.
I'll tell you who's coming on, though, if you're, you know, a tight end guru, and that's Cole Kmet. Justin Fields likes throwing him the ball. So. Huh. Cheap and daily, by the way, as well this week. So.
Oh, you know who else is playing a good? Dawson Knox before he got hurt.
Oh, yeah. Dawson Knox is probably the man.
I think he's got 5 touchdowns this year.
That, I tell you, the tight end position is so bizarre because if you looked at like what he did in college and stuff, what did they say? He was on the Ole Miss team with DK Metcalf.
Correct.
And
A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever caught a touchdown.
How did they not score points?
That's insane. And then also, we got to mention Mark Andrews as well is doing all right.
Okay, yeah, that's a good
Dalton Schultz for Dallas is doing okay.
You know, I read something about coming out of Atlanta with Kyle Pitts that Hayden Hurst would be potentially a move piece for Atlanta. Mm. Should the Jags look at finally trying to get Hayden Hurst after all these years? I mean, there's some people that think he's capable of being a number one tight end. If you threw Hayden Hurst with Dan Arnold and you got Manhurst and you got everybody else.
Jacob Hollister.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have Hayden Hurst than Jacob Hollister.
But are we going to run goal line the whole time? How many tight ends do you want?
All of them.
Well, I mean, Baltimore's been pretty good at it.
Yeah, but are we Baltimore?
I'm just saying. I mean, listen, we've gone from not having a tight end for forever.
No, I hear you.
I wouldn't mind having 15 of them, to quite frankly.
I mean, I'd
give up kickers to have tight ends.
Sure, I got you. If you can find a way to get them all on the field, depending on what you have to give up for Hayden Hurst, then sure, why not?
But yeah, Hayden Hurst was good last year.
Yeah, he's a quality player. Yeah, he's a quality player. Brandon Ponso joins us from JacksCoastalHomes.com. He's like, are you guys going to bring me in or what? I mean, what the hell?
See you guys later.
Why did I call in if you're just going to sit there and talk? So I'll bring you into the conversation, Brandon Ponso. And I have this question before we actually get to the picks, and then we'll roll off the picks in a hurry because it's 0-6 for Austin Lane is what I heard. But
that's correct.
Yeah. Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. to me are about as average as the day is long, especially Odell Beckham. Is that their fault? Is it Baker Mayfield's fault? Is it Stefanski's fault because they run the ball and that's what they try to do? Like, these guys were electric players, like big money players. And I just feel like I can name 50 receivers better than both of these guys. Give me your thoughts, Brandon Ponsell.
I've never seen a wide receiver fall off like OBJ has. It's partly the system in Cleveland. I mean, maybe you send OBJ out to play in L.A. with Stafford and Sean McVay.
Yeah, good point.
He could light it up again. But, guys, he's got to produce. I mean, they have a great offense, and Mayfield's not terrible. So I think it's the player more than the system.
Yeah, and by the way, this is an injury thing, too. I mean, these guys have been banged up, so I understand that. But even still, like, I don't feel like I've heard from Odell Beckham Jr. in, like, a real way, Austin, since – the one-handed catch in the sideline kicking the kicking net down or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like that. He used to be like an every week soap opera kind of player that everybody across the country was talking about for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's just like this forgotten piece.
So the progression of Odell Beckham Jr. has definitely been a downslide, if you will. Because I remember when he first got to Cleveland, like, they were intrigued, and then they found ways to get him the ball. Whether it was like jets, you know, like screens and stuff. Like, I mean, they went out of their way to get Odell Beckham Jr. the ball. Whether he's throwing, like, you know.
He was throwing touchdowns
and everything.
You're right.
And now it seems like they've gone more the traditional, well, hey, we have Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb when they're healthy, and we're going to run the football first, and then everything else is secondary with Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. And you know what? They've won with that philosophy, but obviously they've taken a big hit now in the receiving game.
Yeah, it's weird. Two weeks ago, heck, earlier this week, maybe it was last week, I'm asking, like, should the Jags trade for Odell Beckham?
Yeah.
Maybe do they give him a change of scenery and try to reinvigorate his career? He's a talented player. Mm-hmm. But now I'm just like, I watched him last night. I know he's coming off that shoulder. I'm just like,
it's going to be Michael Thomas in here.
I don't know if he's worth anything.
Like, it's going to be Michael Thomas.
Yeah, maybe. All right, let's go picks. What do we got, KC? This is your time to hammer Austin Lane, okay?
Well, yeah, I've been doing that all show, and it will continue. Austin Lane, 0-6. And what might be more depressing than 0-6, you're tied with Brent Martineau.
Ooh. That's not funny.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Sorry, I'm eating just because I don't care anymore about this segment.
Throw in the towel,
I'm so bad. I'm not quitting. I'm still going to do it, but yeah, whatever.
Well, if you're still going to do it, then why don't you start us off and tell us what's going to happen between Wisconsin, -3.5, at Purdue plus 3.5, who's ranked, by the way.
Yeah.
I checked it like 4 times to make sure I was right, and I am. So,
well, they're looking like Purdue can't handle the bounce, I guess, is what they're saying.
Yep, I don't think so either. Wisconsin's defense is too great. Give me Bucky. Well, I mean,
please don't
good.
Say great in Wisconsin again.
Brent,
the same sentence.
You ruined seven.
You relax with that, Brent. I'm taking Bucky.
I'm going to take Purdue.
Good.
Brandon Ponzo, how about you?
I'll take Purdue. I always love the 3.5 at home, so I'll go with Purdue.
Yeah, that hook is nice, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll take Purdue as well. Wisconsin's not good.
Oh, there we go. That's a game picker-upper.
Game picker-upper, baby. Jim Lennon, that defense right a roll. Can't wait.
Brent, we'll go to you. Clemson plus 3.5 on the road at Pitt. Minus 3.5.
Wow. Clemson has a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? No way. I'm taking Clemson. Brandon, what do you think?
This just isn't your... Clemson from the last 4 or 5 years.
I know.
Not very good, and I don't see why they're going to all of a sudden be good. They're anemic on offense, and Pitt's the best team in the ACC, so give me Pitt.
Yeah, Pickett's been very good for them.
I'm taking Pitt at home.
Come on, take Pitt.
I'm going to, obviously.
Yes! Yes! I got Clemson. I got Dabble. I got DJ.
All right.
And I got Game Picker Upper.
Brent, just because the guy's in a Nissan commercial doesn't mean he's the real deal.
Brent only likes quarterbacks named DJ, Daniel Jones and DJ.
It's a good point.
It's the only option.
Good observation.
Shout out to DJ Moore from Bulls.
Also true. Who's on the Blitz QB high five tonight.
He is. Very good. Blitz scoreboard, 9 o'clock.
Brandon, we'll go to you and the team that I think is the best team in the ACC. You obviously don't because you just said it was Pitt, and that's NC State minus 3.5. At Miami, plus 3.5. Also, Brandon, no Auburn this week because of you. You said something last week. You're sick of Auburn. No more Auburn.
I did get the win on them last
you
week.
Did.
Come back,
you
bro.
Did.
I think NC State has way more to play for. They're playing for an ACC championship as well. So give me NC State and lay the 3.5.
What do you think, Austin?
I think, you know, despite what's going on in Miami, lost their quarterback, but they're still trying to play hard for their head coach. And they're still giving effort, which I like to see. So I think at home, against all odds, they pull this game out.
Wow. Is he trying to lose?
I guess so.
I'll take NC State.
So will I.
Good. Game picker upper. Like it.
Let's go to the NFL.
Let's do that. Austin Lane, Chiefs minus 4.5 with a fully healthy Travis Kelce. You'll also catch him in my fantasy lineup as well. And they will be at the Titans plus 4.5.
Oh, man.
Titans are so freaking weird.
I know.
The Titans.
I know.
Hate them.
You know what? I think they
love you, Derrick Henry, but I hate the Titans.
I know. And especially against that Chiefs defense, could be a close game. So Chiefs minus 4.5, you said?
That's correct.
Too explosive. Give me Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City's always a good pick. Here's the thing about Kansas City. Sooner or later, they got to start proving themselves. They did a little bit last week. They pulled away late. Mm. But I think it's very few times in the last couple of years has – it felt like Kansas City needs to make a statement.
Yeah.
I feel like Kansas City needs to make a statement. I'll take Kansas City. Brandon?
I like the Titans catching the 4.5. Kansas City won't be able to stop Derrick Henry, so it's going to be a close game. High-scoring game, but I'll take the 4.5 at home.
Casey?
I'll take King Henry as well. Brent, we'll start with you because we know where Austin Lane's going to go. That is the Eagles plus 3. At the Raiders, minus 3. But, Brent, you will go first.
Oh, yeah, you know I'm going to go. But you know what he's doing, right? He's always going last on purpose because he wants to see how this whole thing plays out.
Yeah,
if he can get the Grupper.
Right.
I'm on to you, Casey. Okay.
Listen,
okay.
He's having a rough day.
No, I go last because originally I wasn't supposed to be in this segment, and I just keep going last so Brent can't throw me out.
Hey, that's a good
talking.
Idea. True. That's a good idea. You're doing a hell of a job. Raiders, I will take, by the way. They impressed me last week, Brandon, getting that win with all the stuff going on. Mm-hmm. I'll take the Raiders at home. I don't think the Eagles are very good.
Yeah, I like the Raiders, minus 3. Still not sold on Jalen Hurts as an NFL quarterback. And give me the Raiders at home.
That hurts you in the heart, doesn't it, Austin? That statement hurts you in the heart.
Whoa! Someone doesn't play fantasy football. Give me the Eagles.
Casey.
Somebody doesn't play it well. We just don't know who that is yet. I'll take the Raiders.
Wow, you got 3 game picker-uppers.
I like it.
Where else are we going?
The last place we're going, and we'll start with Brandon, is the Bengals, plus 6.5. In Baltimore, the Ravens minus 6.5.
Mm. Yeah, I think the Bengals are going to want to make a statement. They've got a lot of talent. 6.5 is a lot. I'll take the 6.5.
Wow, that's a tough call here. That's a really tough call.
Baltimore's playing good, man.
I kind of agree with you. I think the Ravens feel like they're on a roll, but they played so well the last couple weeks. I wonder if they take a step back. And I love these games where teams have something to prove. I just can't ride with the Bengals. I can't trust them yet, also. I'm going to go with the Ravens.
I can't trust them either. Give me the Ravens, too. I'm with you, man.
Casey?
Give me Joe Burrow.
All right. 2-2. Right.
Man, it's going to be an interesting week for us.
Yeah, it's a wild week. By the way, do we all have the Jags not to lose this week? Yes, we do. It's going to ride a
Jones
weekend
gonna be
winning
for
streak.
For the wrong reasons? Nope. We're good? Not. Okay. But yeah, all the
just
winning.
Stay hunkered down at Jags headquarters, everybody. Okay?
Extra 7 days without a loss.
That's right. Yeah. We like that. Hey, Brandon Ponsel from JacksCoastalHomes.com. I feel like I ask you this every week, but I keep looking at the value of my home by going to JacksCoastalHomes.com. And I'm like, can you find me this small little something to downsize into or whatever? Because I just want to sell my home, but I don't want to buy one.
You need to buy more real estate, Brent, not sell to buy something else. You need to accumulate more real estate. So an investment property is what you should be looking to.
All right. I'll look into it.
A little rental in Jacks Beach is gold.
So. All right. I like. There you go. There's your advice of the week from Brandon Ponsel. He knows what he's talking about. JacksCoastalHomes.com. I won't move into a tent yet. Have a good weekend, man.
Enjoy the game, fellas.
All right. I mean, gosh, the home values in Jacksonville just keep going up and up and up. I really feel like I'm just going, I want to just go buy an RV.
No, for sure.
Just live in one.
Spoiler alert, but like a new vehicle costs are pretty up there as well right now.
Every cost is up.
Every cost, yeah.
Food's
for
up.
Sure. Food's up.
Yeah. There are no vehicles to buy.
No, there really aren't. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a wild thing going on.
It is, man.
Hang on to your property. Hang on to your property. That's what Brandon Ponsel said. Get some more.
Yep.
Get some more. He's, I tell you, he has not wavered. He's joined us for a couple years. He's bullish on the market here. And he's right. You start reading all these publications, it doesn't look like it's dying down anytime soon.
No,
everybody's
not at
always
all.
Like, well, it's not going to stay like this. It's not going to stay like
well,
this.
Well, when is it? That was like 5 years ago they were talking about that.
It feels like it, right?
Yeah.
It feels like it. So, yeah. Hey, don't look for
if
us
only
for
Bitcoin
advice.
Was
go
like
to JacksCoastalHomes.com. Bitcoin is kind of like that. Well, maybe Ethereum's more like that.
Hey.
Ride the wave, but at the end of the day, the wave is always going
up. Yeah, and then there's sharks in the water. We're getting hit, so who knows?
We'll be back. Action Sports Jack. We'll talk sports. Just take our sports advice. Well, you might not want to take Austin's.
Don't take mine right now,
advice.
Man.
He was over for six.
Yeah.
What the heck? We'll just have some fun when we come back. Action Sports Jack's on ESPN 690. Hey, welcome back, Action Sports Jacks on ESPN 690. Brent Morton, Austin Lane, Casey here on a Friday. We're riding it's not a win streak, but a win here in Jacksonville.
No,
and it's been a good week. It's been a really good week in Jacksonville.
Yes.
I mean, you got
weather's
the wind.
Good.
The weather has been terrific.
Mm-hmm. A little too toasty, though, in the afternoon. Still keeping up a little more than I want to see it right
but
now.
But overall, pretty nice.
Overall, not bad.
You know?
Yeah.
You can get away with jeans or even a sweatshirt if you want later at night. That's good weather.
That's great weather. Yep.
And so hopefully everybody has a good weekend ahead. DeJuan Smoot had a fantastic weekend. We had that story. So been a lot of cool things going on here in Jacksonville this week. And it's kind of fun. Don't you think it's fun sometimes to watch football without having to watch the Jags?
I had to stress about it a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know if it's stress. It's just a different experience. Like, I love watching the Jags, even though they haven't been very good. I love game days. I think there's nothing like it. So I don't want you to interpret that like, wouldn't it be better not to have the Jags here? No.
No, for sure.
It's just a different thing. Like, we experienced it when they played on Thursday Night Football.
Correct.
You know, when you have that Sunday, it's a little bit different of a feel where you do pay attention to your fantasy football lineup, your picks more.
Yeah.
At least me, like, I'm usually working on Sunday, so I don't pay attention to any of that stuff until later at night when I kind of say, okay, how did I do?
Well, yeah, and then, like, when you're in the press box and maybe you're watching NFL Red Zone, so, yeah, you are still watching the Jaguars game and following that, but you're also watching NFL Red Zone.
Yeah. You definitely are.
On your laptop. Yeah, but I go back and rewatch the Jaguars plays too, right? And I include you on, hey, here's what happened.
Do.
So don't say I'm not doing my part.
And we appreciate that.
You can't relate. I watch Red Zone at home.
Mm. Yeah. I remember Kuz had credentials.
I've heard.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, I've heard.
Kuz was do not watch, again, because of the nature of the business stuff, I don't really watch a Red Zone that much.
You're missing out.
I know. I'm not saying it's bad.
I mean, I told you, when we went to the Super Bowl party, or not the party, but the what do you call it? Media night? Or not, you know, like when it's like everyone comes in the circle and it's like, oh, here's the teams. What do you call that? When the teams get announced, you got to interview them?
For the Super Bowl, what is that called? Opening night now. Oh. It's media day.
Okay, media day. Yeah, the guy from NFL Red Zone, I told you. That's when I got starstruck.
Yeah,
only
yeah.
guy there.
Hanson, right?
Rihanna could have been walking out. Hey, we'll see you later. Is that Hanson? Dude.
Scott Hanson.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Scott Hanson, man.
But does Siciliano do a little bit of it, too, or is just Hanson?
It's a Scott Hanson show. We've reached the witching hour. That's what he says. You don't watch Red Zone. You don't get it, man.
I know Scott Hanson. I think he's played in, like, Tebow's tournament. I think he comes and plays in that.
I'm definitely, next time I see him, I'm going to have him record a voicemail. Like, you've reached Austin Lane's phone, and he's in the witching hour, or something like that. But what's more ridiculous, not watching Red Zone or not watching Ted Lasso?
Red Zone, for sure.
Thank you very much.
I
win.
And just to confirm, I do watch Red Zone at the house, not in the press box. I just want to double down on that.
Some people have to work for a living.
Man, I remember when Kuz was in there, too. Where are you, egg rolls?
I've heard.
We'll be back. Action Sports Jacks on ESPN 690. That's why you're not allowed in there anymore.